In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus and his apostles are on their way to Jerusalem. And this is the third time that he has prophesied to them what is going to happen to him. St. Paul says Jesus is going to enter the sanctuary. He says that he is our high priest. The high priest is the one who makes the sacrifice. But the sanctuary that Jesus is going up to Jerusalem in order to enter, he will enter by way of the cross. He will enter into the place where death is. He will enter into the place where the sacrifice that we all need as human beings will be accomplished. He will be our high priest by restoring our humanity. His sacrifice is more than the sacrifice of the life of one man. His sacrifice is the sacrifice of the life of the Son of God. His sacrifice is made also in our flesh. In him, our humanity is perfect. And so his sacrifice will be the sacrifice of our perfect humanity. And he does this for the sake of our humanity, in order that we might be saved. Not saved as isolated individuals in the midst of a fallen world, so that when we die we won't go to hell. But all of us be saved once for all, St. Paul says. Once for all. That all of our humanity might be justified and redeemed. Now the West has a misunderstanding of these events that is highly legalistic and focuses on the lives of individual human beings isolated from one another and isolated from God. And if that's your understanding of what your life is all about, then you are not going to get what's going on here. I have heard someone make the objection that they cannot believe, that they reject the idea that all human beings are saved. But that's not what St. Paul is saying. And that's not what we Orthodox believe. We do say, along with St. Paul, that the sacrifice that Jesus the Christ will make on the cross does redeem our humanity. But that redemption has got to be partaken of by each and every individual for themselves in order for them to have salvation. Salvation is our light. Salvation is the living of our life. Our condition is that we cannot live our lives. That's why God comes into the world. That's why he goes to the cross. That's why he sacrifices himself. Once for all mankind has been redeemed. And that's as far as the legal end of things goes. What needs to be satisfied has been satisfied. What needs to be accomplished has been accomplished. And now it's up to us as individuals. James and John wanted to know from Jesus if they could sit on his right hand and on his left. Jesus answered their question with a question. He eventually did answer that question, and his question was very simple. No. But before he gave that simple no, he asked them a question. Can you be baptized with the baptism that I will be baptized with? And they said, yes, we can. And of course, we could say, well, they didn't know what he was talking about. He was talking about dying on the cross. They're not going to die on the cross, or are they? Because after all, then he says to them, yes, you will be able to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. And that's what he means. Yes, you will be able to die the death I am dying. And then we think, ah, he's talking about the fact that they will die the death of martyrs, and one will. But that's not what he's talking about either. Not fully, not completely. Yes, it's part of it. Yes, they will die. But he asks that question of all of us, not just James and John, not just the apostles, not just those who will die the death of martyrs. All of us need to be baptized with the baptism that he is being baptized with. And so he asks that question to all of us. Can you be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And if we are going to be Christians, then we have to say, yes, I can. I can be baptized with this baptism of death that you are being baptized with. This baptism of death and resurrection. I can be baptized with that baptism. And if we are not, then we're not Christians and we have no part of Christ. And that's what's going on in that conversation. And so our justification, as St. Paul would say, has been accomplished. We are justified. Well, what does that mean? Now, there are lots of doctrines and teachings, most of which I frankly don't understand. I have not made a complete study of Roman Catholic and Protestant theology, and I find it very confusing. I know that they think that they have very specific terms for things, and they seem to believe in those doctrines and teachings first of all, whereas we Orthodox don't believe in doctrines and teachings first of all. We believe in this new life that it is possible for us to share with God through Christ. And our life is the doing of that salvation. Salvation is something that you do. It's not something that you talk about. It's not something that you understand. It's something that you do. And I'll be in a conversation with someone of some other confession, and they will tell me, oh, you mean sanctification when you say that. I have no idea what they're talking about. They have some kind of technical definition for sanctification that makes no sense to me, because they've separated sanctification from other things that are all included together for me. It's very confusing. But I know this. I know what St. Paul means when he's talking about being made just. I know what he means by justification. In his time, the understanding of the people of that time was that to make something or someone just is to make it the way it's supposed to be, to make it true, to make it according to the canon, to bring it into line with the way things are supposed to be. You remember that old triangle example. The Egyptians used a triangular shaped tool with a plumb bob hanging down from the top across the center, and there were graduated lines across the bottom cross piece. And so you could tell by moving it this right and left, up and down, how far off center the thing is that you were dealing with. Carpenters and stonemasons used it. And a just and true reading is a reading that is straight up and down, just the way it's supposed to be. How far off is it one way or the other? And to be made just, to be made true, is to be brought into line with the way it ought to be. Jesus the Christ did that with our humanity. Our humanity has been made perfect, justified. In him, our humanity is perfect. That applies to all of us. Why? Because we're all human beings. Every single one of us. And so when he does that with our humanity, and he is the new Adam for us, the first Adam messed things up. The new Adam, what did he do? He made our humanity the way it's meant to be. He justified our humanity. That applies to all of us. Any of us who is a human being has been justified. Now, if we are going to have salvation, we need to be brought into line with that justification. And that depends on us individually. It depends on our faithfulness. Are we going to be faithful with that justified humanity that is the humanity of Jesus Christ? Because it's not an abstract idea, this perfect humanity. It's not some kind of ideal that we're trying to accomplish. Our humanity is justified only in Jesus the Christ, nowhere else. It actually has been accomplished once and for all. And so if we are going to be justified, we can only be justified by being made, and I'll borrow an expression I often see, by the highway, by being made right with God. Justified. Yes. Good words. Get right with God. Be justified. Come into line. Be faithful to the perfection of the humanity of God himself. Now that's not a one-time sort of thing. What Jesus did is a one-time sort of thing. But our salvation is not a one-time sort of thing. It's an ongoing sort of thing. It's never completely accomplished. We have a very strange idea of how things work when we come to the sacrament of confession. We have a list of things. And we confess them. And we are forgiven. And then we figure, oh, that's it. I'm okay until the next time I mess up. And when I mess up again, I'll come back and I'll confess that too. It's a very legalistic way of understanding forgiveness. And it has nothing to do with reality. If we want to understand what is realistic, we can look at St. Mary of Egypt. Because today is the day that we remember St. Mary of Egypt. And it's unfortunate that this past week I was not able, physically able, to do the canon of St. Andrew, wherein we would have read the full life of St. Mary of Egypt as we did last year. But you know the story. She was a wanton woman in the most flagrant possible way. And then, as a result of not being able to enter the church, she responded. Everything changed. Changed her way of life absolutely and completely. And was it a once and done sort of thing? No. Her repentance lasted the rest of her life. It was an ongoing repentance. Repentance is always ongoing. It's not a legalistic matter of breaking a rule and then being forgiven the fact that you've broken the rule. Why? Because we are limited human beings. We can only be right with God by being faithful to Christ. And that's something that we have to do every minute of every hour of every day. It's the only way we have of living. Salvation is living. Salvation is our way of life. If we are going to live, repentance is our way of living. And so it's ongoing. It's not once and done. Mary's repentance becomes stronger and stronger as she lives her life. And it's so with the life of any saint. And it's so with the life of any Christian. Stronger and stronger. Greater and greater love for God. More concern for faithfulness. Faithfulness to the one that we love. You know, when we're very young, we hardly understand what faithfulness and love mean. We've always been taken care of as children. Our parents gave us the rules and we tried to follow them, and they forgave us when we broke them. And that was the way we lived. St. Paul says that the law was given to us as a guardian, like a parent, so that we could start out by having rules that we were told that don't break this rule, don't do this, don't do that. But that's for children. It's our tutor, our teacher, St. Paul says. He says that the law prepared us for faith. But now that our humanity has been redeemed and it is possible to actually live our lives actively, really living life, not just following rules, but actually live our life by faithfulness, the law is insufficient. So that's the nature of the Christian life. It has to do with the reality of things as they actually are. It's not a game with rules where if we follow the rules, we can just go about and live our lives however we please, as though we were not created in the image and likeness of God. It is so. We are created in the image and likeness of God, and the only life that we have available to us is His life. And so we have been redeemed and salvation is open to us. As Jesus asks the apostles, can you be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And all of us here have said, yes, we can be baptized with that baptism. And Jesus answers us the same way that He answers them. And He means to refer to all of the rest of our lives. And He says, you will be. You will be baptized into this life. You will live this life. You will have life abundant and everlasting through me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.